Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska's wildfire situation is expected to ease early next week as widespread rain showers are forecast late Sunday through Monday.
The front is looking pretty vigorous at this time.
National Weather Service meteorologist Scott Berg says the system moving in from the west has the potential to drop significant rain over a large area.
It is going to be pretty widespread rainfall. Almost the whole state will see some precipitation, possibly up to half an inch of rain between Sunday night and Monday night in the Fairbanks area.
Berg says high pressure is forecast for today and tomorrow, with Fairbanks high temperatures expected to climb into the mid-80s, conditions expected to foster significant wildfire activity. Growth of the Shovel Creek fire northwest of Fairbanks has forced a shift in suppression tactics. The latest update from the team managing the fire says the blaze, now estimated at over 2,300 acres, has moved south past a containment line, and firefighters plan to use backfiring to stop further advance toward areas where there are homes. Five fire area subdivisions and the Chattanooga River area remain at level one pre-evacuation ready status. 446 people are working the Shovel Creek wildfire. It's the second largest response operation in the state. The only larger effort is on the 56,000-acre Swan Lake fire in the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, where 530 firefighters are deployed. Firefighters are working to protect cabins and other structures along the Salcha River from a wildfire. The Alaska Fire Service says the 98 Creek Fire was started by lightning Wednesday night and hit with water and retardant drops. The agency reports that the 60-acre fire was active yesterday afternoon and moving toward cabins. The AFS post says 26 smoke jumpers and a hotshot crew are on the ground assessing private properties and taking steps to protect structures. The AFS says additional crews have been ordered and boats are being used to shuttle people and equipment on the Salcha River. The public is advised to stay out of the area north of River Mile 31. Another trail is closed in the Chena River State Recreation Area due to wildfire. An Alaska State Parks post says the popular Granite Tours Trail at Mile 39 Chena Hot Springs Road is closed. Earlier this week, State Parks closed the nearby Mastodon Trail. The Nugget Creek fire burning nearby is growing. The fire is reported to have burned over 1,500 acres. The fire is not being fought, but water pumps and sprinklers have been set up to protect the Nugget Creek public use cabin. A man died while hiking in Denali National Park. A Park Service release says the 71-year-old visitor from California was on a guided hike in the Kantishna area Tuesday when he collapsed. The man, whose name has not been released, was not breathing and had no pulse. The park says fellow hikers called for help with a satellite messenger and administered CPR while people from nearby private businesses responded with a defibrillator device. The NPS says CPR was continued for over an hour until the park's medical director, reached by sat phone, recommended it be stopped. The agency says the deceased man's body was carried to the road and then transported out by ambulance. Governor Dunleavy has scheduled a press conference for later this morning to announce the signing of a state operating budget and line item vetoes of some funds approved by legislators. The 11 a.m. press conference will be held at the governor's office in Juneau and live streamed. State funding recipients, including the University of Alaska, are bracing for deeper cuts. Legislators trimmed $5 million from UA in their budget, but the governor could boost the reduction. Meanwhile, UA regents are holding a special meeting today to consider the budget. The new fiscal year begins Monday. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly turned back an ordinance that would have redirected over $450,000 for testing electrostatic precipitators and other wood smoke scrubbing devices. As KUAC's Robin reports, the ordinance stemmed from frustration with a lack of air quality improvement solutions.
Last September, the Assembly passed a measure to pay for testing smoke scrubbing appliances. That ordinance specified retrofit devices, which could be added to the chimneys of home heating wood stoves and pellet stoves. The most common retrofit devices are catalysts and electrostatic precipitators, or ESPs. Citizens looking to find cleaner ways to burn wood asked the borough to put ESPs into the Air Quality State Implementation Plan, or SIP, but before giving devices blanket approval. The borough's air quality department wanted to get measurable data. Nick Czarnecki, the borough's air quality manager, reminded the assembly last night.
We've reviewed all of the different European testing, a range of 30 to 93% of device effectiveness. That's a pretty wide range on some of that testing, and so we need to narrow that down to ensure that the borough and community resources are widely spent.
The approval for the testing was nearly a year ago, but it has not started. In the meantime, the community has learned a lot more about the benefits of retrofit devices like Catalyst and ESPs. Assemblymember Marna Sanford says the community is frustrated, and she sponsored the ordinance to move the process along.
There was not an RFP, you know, when I was drafting this. That discussion that had taken place a year ago had not materialized on paper. This was an attempt to try to get something moving now, today, this winter. When can we get these things in our homes?
Sanford, along with members Andrew Gray and Sean Tacky, sponsored the ordinance repealing the funding, saying the spending isn't necessary. During public testimony, Rich Seifert and Patrice Lee agreed.
Technology is upon us now with a solution. I totally agree with the idea of not spending this money for any further testing and doing whatever you need to do as public officials to get this technology available to us.
A lot of those programs have been colossally unable to move us forward in our goal of cleaner air.
Jimmy Fox and Mike Prox commented that testing done to the Environmental Protection Agency's standard would provide a marker for the State Implementation Plan, or SIP, for air quality improvement.
I think we need to be guided by scientific principles. The testing methodology in Europe is different than testing methodology in the U.S.
If we're doing what the EPA has asked to do, they are going to okay including it in a SIP plan.
Chief of Staff Jim Williams defended the testing as another step toward clean air.
I will tell the Assembly and everybody who's listening to this, this is probably one of the most complex projects that we have undertaken as a staff. And I would go so far to say that this is probably one of the most complex undertakings that a municipal government has done dealing with air quality issues in the entire nation.
After debate, the Assembly defeated the measure 3-5. In the same meeting, the Assembly approved the contract for the testing to a company in Connecticut that submitted a low bid. The outline calls for testing both a catalytic device and an electrostatic device with pellet stoves. Pellet stoves are consistent performers and easy to measure. If the data show there is a significant reduction in emissions using the devices, the testing company will also test cordwood. Air quality manager Nick Czarnecki says the test results should be back in about 14 weeks. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Also last night, the Assembly postponed a measure to lend the Interior Gas Utility money to complete storage facilities in Fairbanks and North Pole. The loan requires approval from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. The IGU asked the Assembly for more time for ADA to review the loan request. The Assembly will take up the issue again at its next regular meeting, July 25th. I'm Dan Bross.